I am Linda von Tolberg for BizNews. Skills-based hiring is a growing trend in the global job market. It's a shift from traditional hiring methods that often prioritize degrees and work experience. And we have Anne Rutledge from ResourceGenics to discuss whether this is becoming a trend in South Africa. Hi, Anne, and a warm welcome to you.
Hi, Linda. Great to be back. Yes, and it's definitely a topic that's on everybody's lips at the moment in terms of the skills-based hiring and how do they take it forward and how do they implement it or even see if it's suitable for their environment.
So what exactly is it?
So skills-based hiring is a term that's kind of been put together that talks about looking at individuals, not just about their qualifications, but rather as the whole individual. What experience have they got? You know, where have they worked previously? What other skills they bring to the role? And it really starts looking at experience rather than qualifications. It's actually a really good method, especially when you're in a country where you've got a skill shortage. You know, looking at people who have got the experience but not necessarily the qualification definitely helps to fill those gaps and fill those requirements that you've got open for a long period of time.
So what is driving it? Is it that the skills shortage in some professions?
I'd say that's a part of it, but I think what's driven it over the last couple of years, actually, because it's been around for a while, is that many of the new workforce coming into the organizations don't necessarily have those qualifications. Or if you think about the Gen Zs, a lot of them don't necessarily want to go to university just yet. They still want to, you know, figure out where they're going and that type of thing. So it's been around for a while. But in a lot of instances, what's happened is that people have, or organizations have started to understand that there is a lot of individuals out there who, through the natural course of their career, have come across different roles within the organizations, have fulfilled different functions within an organization, and therefore they do have that experience. And you're overlooking a huge pool of individuals that could possibly be really good for your company if you don't look at the skills based of an individual rather than their qualifications. Obviously, it doesn't work in every single role. I mean, if you're looking for a chartered accountant, you have to have a qualification. That goes without saying. Medical doctors, you need a medical degree. So it's not in every role, but definitely when you start looking at your sort of mid-level roles, your mid-level to intermediate type of skills, you can look at those individuals who possibly don't have the qualification, haven't gone to universities, but have done the work and they've got the experience as doing that kind of role within their roles that they've been in.
So is there a reluctance among companies to adopt this or are they keen?
There's still some reluctance to it. I mean, if I look at within our organization, about 35% of the roles that we get on a monthly basis, it does require qualifications. So you can still see there is a reluctance. I think qualifications generally show organizations that somebody has definitely got the capability to do it. However, it's changing that mindset. And it's going to take a while for people to understand that a qualification doesn't necessarily mean that you can do the job. It means that you've got the theory behind it, but you don't necessarily have the practical knowledge of how to implement that theory. And being able to assess individuals on their practical knowledge and what they've actually delivered in different organizations will definitely stand organizations apart in being able to find those skills a lot quicker than they are finding it right now.
So if a company says, okay, I buy that, but what are the essential steps they should implement for this approach?
So definitely looking at past experience, looking at, you know, where has the individual worked before? What are the projects that they've worked on? What are the functions they've worked with in their roles is definitely important. But to qualify that, you obviously need to look at your reference taking, making sure that you're getting references from past employers to confirm that type of skills. There's a lot of skills assessments out there as well that you can use. You know, there's various different types of skills assessments that test for this type of skills, whether it be in financials, whether it be in IT, all of that, you can test it and you can see if the individual has done it. A lot of organizations are also doing sort of role play type of interviews where they might ask them to complete certain projects or certain tasks or bring together a portfolio of evidence of sorts of where they've done this before. So there is different ways that you can assess whether the individual has got that experience or not.
Well, some of these skills, soft skills that they are that you are considering.
Yes, so I think soft skills plays a very important part in any type of role that you're looking at. You know, the soft skills have come out a lot more prevalent in the last couple of years as well. Things like problem solving. You know, problem solving is one of those very important soft skills that often organizations don't take into consideration. But those are generally your people that can help your organization to move forward. They are the ones who will come up with the ideas, the innovation, the design thinking, all of that as well as communication skills. Whether you're in finance, whether you're in information technology, nowadays, you've got to be able to communicate with your colleagues. You've got to be able to communicate with your project stakeholders at different levels to be able to understand what you're going through. So you need that. Analytical skills is another one where, you know, taking large amounts of data and being able to analyze it and have a look at what is the data actually telling you? What is the story behind it? And if you put all of those three skills together as an example, you know, as an individual, you've got a very rounded candidate that could possibly really make a difference in the role that you're looking for as well. Not disregarding the experience that they have as well, and bringing that into the equation, and then you're really starting to find those gems of resources that possibly you weren't looking at before because you were limiting yourself to, I need a qualification in this field. And I'm not looking at anybody else who doesn't have that qualification. So definitely opens up a big variety of applicants now for those roles.
So clearly for you said for a CA, you need the qualifications or for an engineer. But what kind of professions are we thinking of here? Is it primarily IT and now this new buzzword AI?
So definitely in IT, a lot of IT professionals don't necessarily have those qualifications. And to be honest, you know, when you go to varsity and you study IT qualifications, a lot of that information that you get by the time you leave, some of it is already evolved and moved on. So you've got to constantly restudy things all the time. So IT is definitely one of those professions. Your junior sort of financial roles as well, your accounts receivable, your accounts payable, your controllers, all of that is also roles that, you know, people have learned and they've done it and they're able to do that. You know, your sort of administrative roles come into play as well. Some of your reporting analytical types of roles, definitely people have self-taught themselves on different platforms and being able to consume large parts of data. When you start looking at sales roles, you know, not necessarily they have to have some sort of a qualification in the back end. They're able to do that. So there's quite a number of roles a number of categories or job families that have got elements of not needing a qualification and having the past practical experience.
So if you're a job seeker, how do you go about getting these skills?
So obviously people are coming into the world of work right now, especially your Gen Zs. You know, it's about being open to new learnings, being open to try different things within an organization. Often, you know, when you are when you are a newcomer into an organization, you come in to do one specific role. But if you put up your hand for multiple different types of projects, ultimately you learn different skill sets. So if you're thinking about the new incomers into the job world, look at different ways that you can contribute, different projects that you can get involved with so you can learn those new skills. When you are out there as a job seeker and looking for those opportunities or those career opportunities, make sure that you enhance your resumes, your CVs with the projects that you've worked on, with all the experience that you've worked on. Even if you feel, you know, this might be relevant to this particular job, you never know that particular skill might be something that they would look for. So putting together your skills matrix within your CVs and your resumes is important so that you can stand out amongst the other applicants that apply for those roles as well.
So we know that a lot of jobs are screened, not by humans, but are screened long before that. So with AI. So is there a way to get past the AI, but to actually sit in front of somebody with these kind of skills that you were talking about?
So AI is something that, you know, is becoming more prevalent in definitely in the recruitment industry. It's something that is adopted, you know, quite widely by a lot of professionals. And AI is there to take away the mundane tasks of doing sort of, if you look at recruitment, bulk CV applications that come in, and then it helps screen it out. However, AI is not going to replace that human element. I mean, if I take our organization into account, you know, we've implemented AI automation in terms of, you know, ranking CVs according to skills, but it's still up to the recruiter to have a look at that resume and establish whether it is relevant or not. You know, AI has still got a long way to go. It's still got a lot of training that it needs to be done, if I can put it that way. They're still junior. And you're never going to take away that human element of reading through a CV and being able to establish whether that person is relevant or not. As an applicant, when you're applying for those roles, and if you're trying to get away from those ARs, it's also about looking at the job requirements and making sure that what you have done and your experience that you have attained matches those job requirements. So it's about, you know, gone are the days where you had one resume, you kind of, you know, sent that off to multiple different ways. You've got to look at that role and understand, okay, they're looking for X. I need to make sure that my CV has got X, and then I've got that experience at the end of the day. And it's important to match that. So it does require a little bit more time when you're applying for roles to just match your requirements on your CV to the job requirements as well.
So if you look at South Africa and the businesses that and the companies that you work for, which sectors are more open to this and which are more reluctant?
So definitely we found in the IT space, they're more open to the skills-based hiring. In your financial institutions as well, they are really open to the skills-based hiring. And in actual fact, a lot of organizations are starting to look at how do they, even internally within their internal workforce, look at enhancing those skills and being able to hire across multiple different departments, multiple different job functions, because people do learn different skills ultimately as well. So it's all about internal mobility. So the financial institutions are looking at it, the IT institutions, some of the finance roles as well. We're finding quite a bit in the finance roles. A lot of people are open to that. And then, you know, sort of your more junior type roles as well, that's coming in more prevalent as well, with people looking at not necessarily graduates, but individuals who possibly have got some sort of customer service experience, some sort of, you know, even if it's like a 1 or 2 year sort of working experience, that they feel that they can then take those skills that they've obtained and grow them into different types of skills within the organization as well.
So how do you think South Africa differs from the rest of the world in this? Is the adoption rate about the same?
I think from the rest of the world, the adoption rates are higher. In South Africa, we still in that whole process of understanding what are the different skills, sort of creating that matrix of skills that is important for a job requirement. And you've got some organizations that are far ahead and they understand it, and you've got some organizations that are starting up on it. I think if you look at Europe, if you look at the UK, you look at the States, you know, the skills-based hiring has been around for some time. But in South Africa, it only recently started coming to light as more and more important. And also, organizations have understood that, you know, there is a skill shortage in South Africa. So how do we utilize the skills that we have got and really give an opportunity to the people who have got the practical experience, maybe not at the level of somebody with a degree or a qualification, but it can be learnt, it can be upskilled. And that is also what organizations are trying to do, is bringing in the people with 60-70% of the skills and then upskilling them with the balance of the skills that they need to. And often you'll find that you don't need that much upskilling. It's small finessings that you need to do to be able to get those individuals up to speed again.
And Rutledge, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me again.